Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Everybody, this is Mark. He's back.
Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Everybody, this is Walt. He's back.
I've gone for a while. It's been a month.
Wow.
Just look at my notebook.
Yeah, we had to figure out how to run that light switch. We had three or four of us. Oh, down, I don't know. What happens when you push it?
Yeah.
Can we call him? Maybe he'll tell us. Okay, so here we are on Spaceship Earth in our little body capsules trying to manage our lives for each day, if you're like me, maybe a little more happiness. And if you can't afford happiness, then you're trying to go for maybe a little more security. And if you can't afford security, maybe you're looking for a little more comfort. And if you can't afford comfort, maybe you're just looking for a little more hope. And down you go, down to the darkness of despair. But each of us, and anybody, is looking for the next step up. We all know, we've all been there, that up, when I say up, we say up because it's higher, lighter, feels better. You can see more when you stand on the next step up. You've accomplished something. It's a direction. Yes, it took effort, but it was worth it. Every time you've gone up in your life and higher in your life, it's had a very certain effect on your experience of life. So it's kind of simple all of a sudden, right? This whole enlightenment. I love that word because it's got light in it. It's got N in it, which to me is like to make light, meant, make light. Indeed. Okay, so here we are. We're all... Even the worst among us, you know, the axe murderers, or somebody was mentioning that earlier, the killers, well, he's over it, right? Right? No more probation even. So, I think you can be safe around him, right? just kidding. Everybody is indeed going for what will make them happy, so even the person who is this horrible criminal or angry person is angry, makes their next angry, loud statement because they think it will somehow work. Break the car window, steal the money because they think that will work now and somehow make a better day. Now, so we are all a bit more civilized than that, I hope. And what moves you, what the movement of you, your experience, is your mind. All of us, I think, are well established on that. We've tried things with your body, maybe geographic locations and stuff, but you know what? It's really your mind that is your experience and your life. When you move, you make a geographic move, you have a new relationship, it's what you think about that place or that person. This is really what you're living with. Okay, so what moves you is your mind. A Course in Miracles calls itself way up in chapter 1. This is a course in mind training. It's mind training. It's good. I like it. All right, now how do we move the mind? How is it that the mind changes off of its, say, habits? Worse yet, addictions. How does the mind move? Okay? It does move, right? Everybody here has had movements, learned things. Okay? So the mind does move. I'm going to jump ahead now. I'm just going to say, as good a shortcut now, because it's not really the focus tonight. So I'm just going to say, let's call those messages. If you would, please. The mind receives messages. From the messages, it moves or it doesn't move. Like training. What does training look like? Well, David's standing up there on the rock with all of his students who are sitting there with shorts and compasses and pocket knives and unfolding their maps, and he's like, okay. And he's up here like this giving messages, training these people on survival. Okay? So messages move the mind. Okay? Which is a big leap, all right? But that's not our focus tonight. All about what messages and sending and receiving, and do you even understand the message and what you make of the message. Okay. Let's just use that word as a tool now. That messages move the mind. Now, for tonight. I want you to think about a specific message. What might, if you were to get it, the message of love be? Okay? That's our focus. What is a message of love? And as usual, you might start out your exploration here. It's very, very personal. This is just for you today. Your idea of message of love is different yesterday and slightly different tomorrow. But tonight, your Holy Spirit would have you take a look at what comes up in these next few moments. This is a gift for you, from you, to you. And I think it's also helpful as you start out on this exploration on the topic of love to maybe first check in the obvious opposite. What is a message of attack look like? How do you know this is an attack? If you can remember when you felt like attacking somebody else, what was in your heart? What was the message you were to deliver? You remember what that felt like all too easily. Now, what does it feel like on the other side of that coin? The message of love. What does that feel like? If it's not attack, if it's something opposite of attack, what is the goal of a message of love? What is the goal of a message of love? Think about a time when you used, I said used, that word to send a message. What was the goal? Now, a lot of times in this world you get messages of love, but they don't have that word in them. So, can you recall what it feels like to receive a message of love? How did you know? How did you know that was a message of love? Get personal now. Go into that moment if you can. What was the signal that said, whoa, whoa, this is a message of love? And finally, if you wish, choose one word or one phrase that is present, that empowers, that's part of, that's included with a message of love. One word, one phrase. To share with the group. The Course says, isn't it easier to say, I hate, than I love? Busted. Pretty easy to bark that one out. I hate this. But I love. And yet, who among us does not consider this love topic among the most desirable, the most in-gamey, the most valuable? I mean, you get that figured out. You can manifest that. You can give that. You can receive that. You can see that. The Course says you're going to learn to see this in places you can't imagine before Course. It says the holiest place on earth. And doesn't it say earth is this illusion full of ego? Doesn't it say this is a place where there's an attack on God is everywhere? Well, the holiest place there, the Course says. Very short sentence. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. Wouldn't that be a miracle? I hated the same thing. I hated that. And now I love it. It's presently. That's what a miracle is. That's why it's a pretty important topic. And one does not get discussed much for how loaded that word is. That's why I say, you know, when we do these things, if you're really going to contribute to the meeting for yourself, okay? Just for you to contribute to the meeting for yourself, let down your guard a little bit. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to hold you to this next week. You know, just get personal, check into what you think a message of love is just tonight. It's just what's coming to you now. You know? And just hear it. You got something for us?
Well, one thing that came up for me is when I experience love from other people, there's a sense that they're granting me being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So if acceptance.
But there's they're present.
Okay.
And in that presence, first of all, it's like kind of the generosity.
Yeah.
That they're like extending to me.
Uh-huh. I love that being word. It's huge.
Like, it's like giving me the space to be who I am.
Wow. Wow. Good job, Masako. Or mom. I'm not sure you're on the list, but it's okay. This is great. Nice experience, man. I like that. John?
I'm going for acceptance, too. That's the one that really says no matter what you did, what you think you are,
nice.
Accept you as who you are.
Nice.
Who and what you are.
Nice.
Love you. It's like
why?
It's like you're awesome, man.
Wow. I'm not afraid of you. The opposite.
Right. It's not fear. It's full acceptance.
It's not fear. It's full acceptance. No rejection. Not rejection. It's the opposite of that. So
right.
I like what I see and I want it. Celebrate it with you.
I don't even care what I thought a minute ago. I still feel the same way about you.
Wow. I was trying to avoid this word, okay? But he's going to make me say it. Because he just uttered, I don't care what you do, I'm still going to feel this way. Love has a commitment in it. This is why it's so easier to say I hate. That means I ain't going to deal with it. When you say I love, and you mean it, there's a commitment that's going to, you know what? And tomorrow I'm going to feel the same way, because I got your essence. I got your being.
You go back on that one. It's an implied commitment.
Yeah. And now I know what you're about, your being. And so even if you say something that's not quite right, I got your being, buddy, and I love it. And that's what I'm going to remember tomorrow. Even though you might say something completely backwards, I'm joining with your being, and I like it. Be that way. And it's beautiful. Yeah. 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 Powerful thing.
Powerful thing.
Kim.
Thoughts going on through that whole meditation, but I mean, love is an action; it's a decision. In this world,
yes.
Love is a decision.
Yes.
If it's not kept.
Yes.
It becomes the opposite of love. It becomes pain.
Yeah, a broken contract.
Yes, a broken contract. Right. When you asked about how you feel when someone, when you say I love you to someone, I think that's what you asked.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
Depending on who went through my mind, it was a whole different scenario of how I felt. I mean, I could say that to my children and feel that way. I would accept them no matter what they ever did. They could never do anything I would not love them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've tried. But other people, I could say the same thing. I have a girlfriend that I could say that about her. She could never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that could hurt me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're prepared in your mind. You know, you're defending. But in other words, you're
right.
ready to defend against them, but not from your girlfriend.
In the spiritual realm of me, it means clarity. So, of just being able to understand
there's the word.
What is around me and the peace of, yes. of all of that.
Nice. Clarity and understanding. This goes back to Mark. You know, it says, you know what? I understand your being. I can see it. It's not a mystery. I kind of get your values. I kind of get what you're coming from. I kind of get, you know, what you hold as valuable and valueless, or what you're going to protect, I can kind of predict, and I'm okay with that. And I understand, I appreciate, even though I perhaps wouldn't choose the same thing. But I understand why you do it. And that helps me join you.
But there's people that project that sense that you don't know. Strangers can give you that sense. Like they are just, like there's a sense of...
Yes.
Love coming from that person, even though you don't know them.
Feel
but
it,
they
right?
give you the space to be who you are.
Nice.
In
yes.
that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So the understanding is, in A Course in Miracles, uses the word light all over the place, right? And it has a very short sentence, and it's this: light is understanding. When you don't understand what happened, I'm not sure if this is good or bad. I don't know where this is going. I don't understand why you did or what happened or how this is going. So the ego's got free rein to judge and to defend and to doubt and to start to protect you. And when you're protected and defending, you're not tolerant, you're not trusting, you're separating. No longer generous or gentle. It's like, right?
Yeah,
you're qualifying.
So now this is a great thing that like for kids, for example, as you watch the kids grow up and they go from that sweet 6-year-old to, oh my God, did you hear what they said yesterday at 12 or 13 or 14? But you understand. You did that. Your mother's telling you that you did that when you were her age. You go, all right, well, The love is not broken because there's understanding. Yeah, very powerful. Very good. And it affords trust. Understanding affords trust. It's like a mathematical equation we could write out. Meg?
I mean, it's just joyous oneness. I mean, that to me is the essence.
Yeah. Yeah, oneness. So
I think I can very much identify that feeling that you get when people are connected. Mm-hmm. In their minds.
Yes.
That's what it means to me.
Yeah. Yeah. A joyous oneness that powers a message of love.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing like you know, where you get this with the brief person at the retail, quick little relationship, and you just feel this loving exchange happen. You know, the person didn't even know. And that's because we've joined at one point. At some point we've joined.
Right, you know, I want to assert that I get that from you. Because cool. I don't know you that well.
Yeah.
But I sense that from you.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah. All of us have come out of our crazy lives in all of our different directions to here with a pretty focused guide and purpose. And so as we visit, the more we visit that, you can feel it in the room. And if we get away from it, you can feel it in the room. No doubt. Yeah. Thanks. Carol, what powers a message of love?
Well, it's kind of been said, in other words, it's just, I see you.
Oh.
I see you.
Yes. Namaste. I, honestly, mm-hmm. who I am, what mm-hmm. I know of myself, you'll never know. Right. But I see you.
So what namaste means?
Yeah.
Yeah, the spirit in me sees the spirit in you. Mm-hmm.
I remember a really dear friend saying that at a really powerful moment to me at one point. And it was in the context of the whole thing that it just really got to me. It was one of the most powerful things anybody ever said to me.
Nice.
Yeah?
Yes. A message of love. I see you. I understand you. I accept you. You. Masako, what powers a message of love?
It's all about me, folks. It's all about what I think, what I see. So, yes, the outside does trigger something in here, but then once something in here gets triggered, then it doesn't matter what's in front of me, okay? Because it gets resolved in here, and then I go out. Since only minds can adjoin, then that's the evidence. You know, this is my home here. This is God and I are one, and we have the correction here. With the Holy Spirit's blessing. So it all happens in the mind because we're all spirits. The other side of that, it's through the body, right? So it's like, oh, my husband is having that looking at me again. So definitely there's a separation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can feel the body sensation. It's releasing certain kind of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to attack
mm-hmm.
in my own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the comparison is adjoining
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
versus separation.
Uh-huh.
So I like that simplicity.
So in the body... When it's a message of love, you told us about the mind when it's a message of love. We're going to dig in on that. What's it like in the body? What's the experience of the body when there's a message of love?
It's, well, everything, it's, when I'm in love, I don't really think about, oh man, this feels really great. Mm-hmm. I'm just being in this moment. So everything just flows, and I'm not really conscious about anything.
Are you going to use the word from last week? Graceful. We dig in last week on grace, and that was beautiful. She listened in last week, Corinne. So I become graceful when I'm in love, and when I'm defending, it ain't graceful. It's got edges. Start and stop and repeat happens. Interesting. Back to what happens in the mind. All about me, folks.
All about me.
Yes. The message of love is recognized as a message of love, not forced as a message of love. You would not know a message of love coming at you if you are in a world of hurt and pain and anger. I missed it. Did you say something nice? Because I thought for sure you were so... Yeah! Isn't that interesting? How it seems like it's coming from the outside, but as we've said 100 times in this room, nothing comes from the outside. Lesson number 2 in A Course in Miracles. What is it? I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. Yep. I've just spoken another truth. You can take it to the bank. That sentence is true. It's one of those rare times you can say the truth. So a message of love, turns out, it's as much from you as the environment. Without you, no message received. Without your state of mind, without your recognizing love, no message of love. Sorry. It's, kind of bad news in a way. But it's also good news because it indicates where love's source really is and how close to your own experience on any minute that very sought after precious experience awaits. That's why we say way back to chapter 16, how many people does it take to have a holy relationship? Ego says, that's crazy talk. Good, Masako. Beautiful. Well, what powers a message of love? What has to be there?
It comes from you. And I experience it as joy. It's a choice that I give it to myself. And it ends up being given to someone else. It's doing something with someone else just with the joy of doing it, despite what's going on with them. It is all about me.
Nice. Starts with you.
It starts with me, it ends with me.
Nice.
And this discussion is so relevant, because this morning I just did the opposite. With a good friend of mine. And I've been feeling all day like I've been hit by a truck.
How about that?
Just.
Oh, that's good. Painful. That's good. Yeah, the cause.
And in just one moment this morning, I chose not to do it for me. To give it to me. I chose not to do that. I chose to find a fault with this other person.
Yes.
And
yes. Yes. Very good to see that circle. Mm-hmm. Choosing the fault, to see the fault in the other person that has an expense to you resulted in some kind of an attack. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about them. Even though they're the ones who did that and stole that or paid that or crashed that or whatever it is in the world. It started with loss here. And it manifested in loss.
And it's been there, but I've always chosen not to look at it. You know, I can't say it's been there, but I've chosen the opposite. I've chosen to see it differently.
Yes.
And this morning, I didn't do it.
Yes. This happens in our lives when a miracle has not yet been chosen for that situation. It's been forgiveness, all right, but no miracle. So it's had to be repeated and repeated. And essentially, you know, faked. To be nice. And to be a nice, good Course of Miracles student. But I'm holding a grudge. Because the miracle hasn't happened yet. You see, it's miracle first. It's shift in perception about the situation and what it really means to you. What it really... Do the math. Work out the math. Derive the formula and find out, does this actually hurt my being? Does this actually cost me anything that's really valuable?
My joy.
Does it cost my joy? And is it worth paying off? Is it worth giving up my joy around the loss of this? Is it worth it? Well, you do some of that math and you go, and then the miracle occurs, see? That's the Holy Spirit's going to come in and translate the situation that you're looking at from darkness, heavy, material loss to light, strength, movement, completion. So an ancient hatred can indeed become a present love.
It's as if love affords a vacuum.
Yes. You invite love. You invite love. This Holy Spirit's perspective is a loving perspective. And it will gather in and fill this vacuum with a loving perspective. And the book says, I don't know exactly what, but you guys are going to remember this because it's so amazing. It says, the entire universe answers your call and essentially contributes to your desire for happiness, for love.
And it's not experienced alone.
Yeah.
We're not alone in our thoughts.
Alone is the poison idea that makes separation possible. So, right, it's the opposite of that. Beautiful. So, you know, starts and ends right here. Nobody can come into our minds. This is, of course, in mind training. Nobody can come into our minds, despite all the holes in your head. Nobody can actually put a thought through one. No. You're free to choose how you want to feel under any and every circumstance. Stephen.
I find this conversation somewhat confronting.
Okay.
It's like such a mixed bag. When you were talking about the message of love and then try the flip side.
Yes.
Oh, I could do the flip side all day long.
Oh.
Like, it's right there. And it's not at other people. It's typically, even if I have a problem with somebody else, somehow it's just a reflection of how I was insufficient. So usually it's directed at me, even if it's around the bend, it comes back over here. But there's some, I heard something in everything each one of you said. Like, there's so many levels and layers. There's emotional love, there's personal love, there's romantic love, there's, you know, and we don't have a whole lot of experience really at spiritual love. It kind of like just shows up in a moment, and sometimes that moment is the result of having the experience of really deeply and profoundly being accepted, like you guys have said, that connection, and for me, I can think of a handful of moments where whether it was in the midst of some work of some sort or just a profound conversation with someone, that I get so present to that acceptance on a level beyond what that word indicates. And then there's just, in that moment, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's not the past. There's not the future. There's just this, I don't know, it's, I don't even know how to articulate it. There's like peace, a kind of joy. But, it reminds me of what I've said before about that experience, like, oh, this is what it's like to be home.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. The ultimate joining would have to be an alignment of equals. And now, if what it's like to be home, because I fit here, I'm accepted here, I accept everything that is here, you know, you kind of let your hair down and unbutton a few buttons and you just relax because you're home. It's in when you get to those moments, there is an undefended, no need to defend, a graceful flowing of understanding and acceptance, and everything's meeting right at the right level.
Which is a profound experience for me because everything from my early programming is not that.
Yes. Yes, the world doesn't make money with that.
No.
The ego does not have any advantage with that. The ego's got to either be ahead or behind, and then it's in order to work its magic. So you bet. That's why love is not found here. In those moments, those are holy instants. This is the only holy instance when your awareness actually goes beyond the space and time and body. And you bet it comes out with laughter, comes out with tears, because it doesn't fit in the body at that moment. Real true love, it just exudes. It doesn't fit when you're aware of true love. You know that? Yeah, very good, beautiful.
I'd say like letting go, like a complete surrender and feeling like you don't have to do anything, but that you're just accepted again for who you are, no matter what you do or say or think. It's just it never changes.
Yeah, letting go. Right, the vulnerability, either from the message sender or the message receiver. There's a letting go really on both sides. There's a surrender happening on both in the environment, the message of love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very different than a message of attack. It's opposite of a message of attack. This attack is picking up and constricting and drawing lines, not letting go. Yeah. Message of love.
Didn't I read somewhere that the opposite of love is fear?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That would cover a lot of responses tonight.
Yep. Yep. We go back to Walt's experience. Walt went into fear.
It's like it's a formula.
Yep.
The fear that don't exist.
And because we're talking...
You think it does. You believe it does.
Well, that's why we're talking about using the word attack. Because everybody can... If you're committed. When you attack, you're committed. And we're talking about when you commit to a message of love. So fear committed is attack. But, of course, you're right. Of course says, attack is based on fear. You think you're going to lose. You actually know... You're going to lose. And that's why you're willing to commit to an attack. Mm. You've decided that you are already losing if you don't attack. And it comes out. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
That's brilliant right there, what you just said.
Thank you. It's a book.
I hope.
Julie, what powers a message of love?
Well, I like this letting go because for me it was selflessness, and I don't mean the opposite of selfish. I mean the ego self is gone, and so there's just no more thought of judgment or scheming, or there's just, you're not even thinking about how much you love, you just are. So that's it for me.
Nice, yeah. A selfless moment. Message of love requires selflessness. Yeah. You bet. The ego is the definition of self, as a separated self. And it does not operate on love. It's got its own version of love. And it's all about that small self. As Misako was contrasting. She says, you know what? If myself is willing to afford love, then I got love. If myself wants to have an attack, then I got an attack. Oh, yes. And Stephen said, boy, I can list for you what it means to have a message of hate. Got that quick. But to be selfless. Being selfless is a spiritual awakening. The self, small s, is the material commitment. Be with the thing you see in the mirror. And the more you think about it and prepare for it and make it the valuable thing, then your spirit has to come in and help with that. It will. It will. Of course, it has a wonderful sentence, and it says, whether you choose spirit or choose body, each will come into the service of the one chosen. When you go selfless, body, backseat, I got a message to send that's invisible.
And I think this joining that was said so many times, that was my other word, that it's like, it goes back to the lesson you did on what is it like when you want to share, not actually sharing, but you want to share. Because I feel like that, for me, is what has preceded these holy instant moments of love.
Beautiful. Thanks for mentioning that. Absolutely. Yes, that overwhelming sense, I want to share, powers a message of love. It's not forced. It's not that it was duty-filled or required or perfect in any way. What it is an overflowing outpouring. This is a message of love, has that honesty in it. Beautiful. Thank you. Pam?
I find this challenging also, but I think the first thing that I thought of is just a completeness, like the feeling of it's enough. You're enough. It's all enough.
Yes.
Enough already.
Yeah.
And also I thought of it being the unifier. Mm-hmm. You know, what else is there? All the way from, you know, whether it's that interaction in the retail shop to your partner in life to your, you know, your dog, your kids. But this is where I'm not, I don't know, but it's kind of the unifier.
Yeah. Yeah. So love is a verb more than a noun.
Yeah. I mean, what else can happen between you and I to make you and I matter at all? Mm-hmm. You know, like what else is supposed to happen here? And then and then I also thought of that as it's like a glimpse of the truth, right? It's like it's like the one place where you can like peek through the curtains and see home.
And you say, I see you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I see you.
Yeah.
The real you.
What else? What, you know, it's kind of like, it's like if you could give somebody a little, like, you know, monoscope thing or whatever, and like, so you can see all the way home. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that I can show you.
Well, I like what you first said. And you first said is, it's enough.
Yeah.
Because it's a sense of completion.
Right.
There's a sense of wholeness observed.
Totally.
You don't need to change one bit, add one more, impress me, sell me, or show me anything else.
Yeah. It's enough.
It's enough. Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful message of love. Maureen, what powers the message of love?
I had one vision over the past 6 weeks. Two things are major in my life. I traveled most of the past 6 weeks, and my mom passed away on Saturday. And I was visioning, over the past 6 weeks, we stayed with family, friends, campsites, hotels, you name it. And I'm picturing a welcome mat, and the light is on, and the gates of heaven. And that's what love is. It's like, you're welcome. The light's on, the key's under the mat, or the door's open. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, beware of dog. Dog's barking. The guard's up. The gate's down. You know, and so I pictured, welcome was the word that
nice.
Kept coming to me.
Nice, very nice. A message of love is, you are welcome. A message of love says, you are not blocked from joining. That's a very nice message. You may come in at your leisure. This is home. You're recognized here. You belong here. It's a huge message of love. It's a message of love. It's a message of love. You belong. Call this your home.
And you know, Andrew, something that, I mean, I've been studying the Course for almost 2 years now, and thank God, because I don't know how I'd handle the death of my mom without it.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that really circles in my mind is this idea of, if a person dies not at peace,
mm-hmm.
then what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they just get released into love because that's who God is?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's this whole reincarnation in the book, which is something different, but like, do they have to still, even though they leave their body, do they have to
mm-hmm.
still find love?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just, is the gate just open?
Yes and no, equally. And so death is not a passage to enlightenment. It's not a guarantor of any change of mind whatsoever, because the body is not actually real. The mind is, but the body and the experience of body is a chosen thing by an aspect of mind that is investing in separation, and it just created a perfect way to separate. So in a way, for anybody in a body, congratulations is due. You did it! You managed to pinch off a piece of God and hide it away in such a way that you would believe you're disconnected from love, life, universal experience in your list package. Wow! That's amazing! Of course, says, never doubt that you have a powerful mind, because look at what she did. Whoa! So, yeah, in fact, that's why I think it's so important to do work like with A Course in Miracles. It's just, you know, let's get, for me, I'm itching. I'm getting on with the awakening, the rejoining, and dismissing fear in all its forms. It's like, for to me now, all of these years of study, it's clearer and clearer and clearer that all forms of fear, and even in separation, oh my God, it's just, it's like self-flogging. It's self-attack. It's, you know, it looks like this. I'll just demonstrate a few times, okay? Why would you do that?
Because we like it.
Somehow we think we have to, or that it'll benefit, or we were trained to bang our head against the wall. Bang your head against the wall and fear have one thing in common, and it's really true. I might be saying another truth. What they have in common is that when you stop them, then it feels good.
It only stops hurting when you stop doing it. Yeah. Okay? So that's the part where forget about it. Death is no guarantee that you will be free. That you'll find happiness and golden, you know, heaven's all waiting with the perfect. No. Because the body's a choice, you see. Not from you that you see in the mirror. That's not the one that's making the choice of the body. That's the poor victim, ego identification. No. There is a self. There is a self that is playing with this idea of separation. Okay, now, this is in the book too. It talks about ways of awakening. And it says, you know, some it will be through lifetimes of difficult learning and challenging life over and over and over and over again. And it says others, it will be from reading this material. It says, it talks to itself. It says, you know what? The Course in Miracles can be your awakening from the body fixation. Yeah. And I just want to repeat that anybody in a body, this is not a mistake. This is a choice that was made with creative power. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with the body or the world or earth. Except for one little detail which counts for everything. And that is that in the body, you see, you had to exclude love, true love, in order to be separate. See, the cost of alone, of being a separate unit, is very, very high. You did it, okay? That's why I say congratulations, because you fought everything you want. Everything, of course, says this, right? Your will and God's are one. The real oneness that you actually want is waiting, of course, because it's true. But you've denied it so that you can have this little package. Can't keep it. Because it's a fantasy of separation. You can't keep a fantasy of separation. No fantasy do you keep. You can't keep a fantasy of separation. Because a fantasy of separation denies what you really are. So if somehow, some way, whether it's Course in Miracles or lifetime to lifetime out of studying and or on the moment of death, it says. The moment of death. And you know, and Jesus on the cross, you know. Some say that that was his moment. Really, real moment. When he finally went,
then forgiveness.
Understanding. And then forgiveness. Real forgiveness, like obvious forgiveness that happens so fast there's no debate. There's no math to do, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Right? That's real forgiveness. Yeah. Why? Because the miracle moved the mind first. The miracle moved the mind first. In other words, you had a shift in perception about the whole situation and you no longer see it as a place of loss. Rather, you see it as a place of constant gain and love. Opportunity, if not fulfillment, abounds. How long does that take, anybody? How long does it take? How long does a miracle take?
An instant.
An instant! Because it's a thought. So your mom? She is so loved and so valued. And her real choices, the ones that she makes, will never be made for her, and the opportunity would never be held from her. So when she's damn good and ready, and says, I've had enough of this, and I think I'll go up a step on the staircase, this is the only moment we would want. Not as not forcing your mom up or down. Right?
Someone said to me, oh, God took your mom. Mm-hmm. At this time for a reason. I've been studying the course long enough to think, no, she chose.
Yeah.
Maybe at this subconscious level, but
yeah.
I'm starting to see everything.
Yeah. Different. That's right. Ways. It has to be different. Otherwise, victimhood is real. And this course, at its heart, comes out and it gives really good news. And it starts out dropping that V word in there, victimhood.
He says, you know, you're not actually a victim. No. No, you actually choose what you think and see. And then it goes out with the workbook to prove to you. Let you awaken to your own choices and their effects. That's one of the definitions for me of Course in Miracles, is self-empowerment. Oh my God, it's me. I actually get what I think. Whew, I got to let you off the hook now. Because, you know, I get what I think about what you said. Mm-hmm. Even though you said it in a really ugly way. But I decided what it meant to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm no longer a victim. No matter what you say. It's what I'm thinking about it and what I do about it. And how many times I stand around and listen to it. That's not you. That's me. I'm free. Wait a minute. Well, now I know it's up to me. I might be a little more patient around you because I kind of like the way you cook breakfast and how much you think of me. So maybe there's a little opening up. Maybe some compassion can open up when I get a little less selfish. Self-loss-ish. Yep. So, yeah, no guarantee. But it will happen at just the right time for her. Her freedom and her awakening. And not a minute sooner, please. Don't pull me out till I'm done. You know how hard I've worked to get here? Yeah, I thought in Buddhism they say, don't take away a man's suffering. That's his teacher. Would you take away somebody's teacher? Hmm. Well, no.
I heard a great analogy, I guess, for the awakening.
Yes.
And it's like if your child is having a nightmare and they're screaming and scared, you don't run in there and shake them and wake them up and say, you know, don't be scared, this is a nightmare. You don't do that. You gently bring them back to a place of peace and safety and gently wake them up. Otherwise, they won't come out of the nightmare.
Yes, the Course talks about that, and it says that whatever is introduced in those moments will be woven into that dream. And so what we do is light in the dream is we shine a little bit of light and let's start bringing some of the darkness away so that the final awakening is not a huge jar, which would be fearful. And it says the exact opposite of the program. Thank you. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Let's be graceful about it instead. Grace. Grace has the wisdom of how to wake a child from a nightmare. Yeah. I want that done gracefully, please. Yes, yes. Good, good. What power is the message of love?
I got an eternal faith. A faith that was kind of like the voltage pushes the current to the wire. Faith, like the foundation that pushes the and empowers the love, pushes it, makes it noticeable.
Oh, I like that. I like that analogy, like the voltage that pushes the current through the wire. Yeah. This is
power behind the
power. Yeah.
And I, the word faith was always, I never had too much religious crap behind it, so.
Good.
I just threw all that old definition away and decided to go with one with no definition, just the,
nice,
the feeling for the word.
Nice.
So I really think we can't define it properly.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, you gotta take.
It means, but I can feel it.
Yeah, yeah, but it, yeah. It, we just use it here as a bridge between concept where you don't do anything. You just can speak of it, you can say it, but I ain't doing it. Belief, concept, and belief are at that level. And then when you actually try it, and the electrical potential is really interesting. You know that the electrical wire is hot? Right? You get it close enough to something that will receive it, and boom!
Yeah, that's the voltage.
It flows. And then that voltage, depending on how much voltage there is, how you can jump a gap. Could even jump a gap and get to where it's going if the voltage is high enough.
Yeah, I've seen one jump 12 inches.
That's a big one.
I didn't move for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, heaven help you if you get in the way.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah.
They picked him up and carried him in this position with a screwdriver and took 20 minutes and he woke up, got back to normal.
That's the arc of triumph.
That's powerful, yeah.
Yeah, so faith,
I think, is so powerful you can move a freaking mountain.
Yeah, because faith is commitment.
Yeah.
to whatever belief you're working on, you're acting on it. It's that verb thing we talked about. The message of love is kind of has a verb quality because it's happening. It's connecting. Like the wire connects, and then the power flows. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It just, for me, it works better without having any definition on it. That it made sense. Mm-hmm. But faith in what? Mm-hmm. Faith in what?
Love.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it. You know, it's what makes it real. And the faith is kind of a very basic, the foundation, like it just, it's this is deep feeling that, like, what he says, and when he said it, it gave me another, like, you know, you don't care what the other person does, you've got this faith that is going to always be the same. I don't care what you say or do, my feelings are the same.
And faith in everything everybody said, including you. Faith in self. Faith in the connection. Faith in me seeing you who you really are. Faith in what? Faith in this undefended moment of me and you. Wow!
Yeah, I mean, I discover all these new truths.
But
new truths you discover. Have faith in it. It worked.
Uh-huh. Try it, you'll like it.
Yeah, go for it. Just, okay, I'm going for it.
Turns out that's the way truth works.
Yeah.
It is that when it's not true, it fails.
Yeah.
And there's really, you know, the cost is limited. When it is true, it will change your perspective for the rest of your being. That's the benefit of going up the staircase of enlightenment. Each time you have an awakening, maybe it's not the awakening, but it puts a little light in your darkness, and you are now lighter. Forever. You are a child of God. A precious, priceless part of His being.
So is that ultimate lightning leaving the body?
The ultimate enlightenment. Thank you. That brings us back to a moment we were before. Mm-hmm. I wanted to finish. Thank you. What is the ultimate? What is the ultimate awakening in this, you know, passage where we spend either many lifetimes or read the book or moment of death? What is it that switches? What is it that changes? In this book, it's called The Real World. The real world is when you look at the same world that's been a block to your awareness of freedom and love, same world now, you look at it with Christ vision. Another phrase you'll see in this book that you have to get used to what it means. But the Christ vision is using that part of your mind that's still connected to oneness to see what was separate. It's oneness, right? Because you're looking from the perspective of oneness. And if oneness is true, that means that everything is included. Not by trying. Not by somehow being helped to see it. I said from the perspective of oneness, when your mind relaxes enough from your separation game that you're playing really well with your body. Mm-hmm. That's what enlightenment is not playing the separation game, but using the same power that was playing the separation game to play the oneness game, and you get the results of either. The Course calls it, well, in many ways, it says each thought you experience has a father. And if it's the father is fear, you're going to get fear. It's going to be in your gut. It's going to be in your face. It's going to be in your stress, in your hormones, etc. If the father is fear. But if the father of your thought is love or the Holy Spirit, you're going to get patience. You're going to get tolerance. You're going to get defenselessness. You're going to get a little faithfulness going on here. The power's flowing. I'm going with it. You're going to get honesty is going to be flowing. Why? Because you're trusting. And when you're trusting, you can afford to be honest. You're going to get some open-mindedness instead of this closed-mindedness that the ego's all about. Yeah.
I love what you said a little while ago about, I think the verbiage was undefended
moment between, I wrote it down.
Undefended moment of truth.
Between you and me. Yeah.
I thought there was truth in that, but anyway, the undefended.
Yes.
The truth.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I just so got that.
Yes, nice. Yes. That's why I was asking you, what's the body? There it is. What does the body look like when it's undefended? There it is, right there. Remember she was talking about her body experience and her mind experience?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You know, we communicate, our bodies communicate more than our words. Constantly. And in ways that you can't control. Like we've said before, if you're a really, really high-paid actor in Hollywood, there's a reason. Because you can control the subtlest little micro expressions and head tilt you can control to make it flow with a lie. Most of us know. The truth comes out. If you're looking, the truth comes out. Yes. And so when you're undefended, truly undefended, and you share this moment of joining, you're home. You can feel that.
You can see it, too. You see it all around you.
Yes.
I had a day last week because I was in a, been in a good place. But this one day, everybody on the street, we were eye to eye. And everybody was smiling at each other. You know, we were all smiling at each other and saying hi to people I didn't even know. Everybody's like nodding hi, you know. And this doesn't happen to me because I have my Beware of Dog sign hanging around my neck most of the time, you know. And then there was this one guy, this young kid, that was trying to open a door and he had books and coffee. And he stopped me and he said, "Would you mind holding this for a second so I can put my phone in my something-something?" He had to get organized. Yeah, no problem. Well, nobody, they don't stop me on the street normally and ask me to help them. Mm. You know, so it was just cool that he did that, you know.
Yeah.
And things change all around you when you're in this space.
Things change all around you when you're in this space. That's absolutely right.
I love that Beware of the Dog sign.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they don't change, but it looks different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that is. You're right. It's not changing. It does look different. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What we're talking about is lesson 155.
We did that last week.
We did it last week? All right, let's skip that. All right. That's what we're talking about. No, we have so much to cover in short time. Micheline, what powers?
Well,
the message of love.
The one you didn't say was gentleness, and what came for me was kindness, because it is, I am the source. And when I am the source and I'm not feeling at peace, then I'm mistaken in my thinking. And I need to be kind and gentle. And when I am kind and gentle, I am able to give that gift of love and I experience it back. So as Masako so well says a lot, I am the source of that experience. And that is the gift of love. And for me, because I used to beat my head against the wall inside and out for a long time, that gentleness was really an important concept for acceptance and the other things that everyone said.
What does it take to afford gentleness?
Unquestionable faith.
That's faith! Because you know what? I'm going to be gentle because I now am committed to this working. And if I'm too harsh or too ungraceful with my emotion, why, it's the situation is too fragile for that. So I'm going to be gentle. It's a commitment of faith to the idea of joining, of love, of getting from A to B.
Right. Beautiful. And the suffering, you know, like a few weeks ago, you know, that was, suffering is the greatest teacher, because that is the whole, if I'm suffering in my body, or it's definitely my thoughts, it's not my body. If I'm in emotional pain, or if I'm in judgment, and it happens unconsciously, but it is the greatest teacher, because it is what is on the chalkboard that
right.
I need to learn.
It's so personal. Yeah. Suffering is so personal. That's why A Course in Miracles says that behind each thought of suffering is a miracle. custom made for you.
Yeah.
How convenient. Okay, let's jump in. Page 401 in the text. Page 401, and we are on paragraph 14. Michaeline, when you're ready.
Okay. In the holy instant, you and your brother stand before the altar God has raised unto himself and both of you. Lay faithlessness aside and come to it together. There you will see the miracle of your relationship as it was made again through faith. And there it is that you will realize that there is nothing faith cannot forgive. No error interferes with its calm sight, which brings the miracle of healing with equal ease to all of them. For what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do, returning the glad tidings that it was done to you and your brother who stand together before the altar from which they were sent forth.
Beautiful. Do you see the circle being hinted at here? For what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do, returning the glad tidings that it was done to you and your brother, who stand together before the altar. Which altar? Where do you and your brother stand in the moment, in the holy instant, in this holy relationship? Where do you stand? The altar from which they, the messengers of love, were sent forth. Oh, do you mean that coming to this beautiful moment of love, message of love we've all just talked about, it's a journey, all right. And we said verb several times. But as the Course describes it, a journey without distance. We find ourselves in the exact same place when love is acknowledged. When the awakening, when the understanding, when I say, I see you right now, right here. And if I didn't see you the moment ago, you're still standing right where you always were. Now I just get it. The times I didn't understand you, I get it now. So all those are included. Thanks for that hug. I embrace all of you. Yeah, okay, let's dig in a little bit on that. In the holy instant, you and your brother stand before the altar God has raised unto himself and both of you. All right, so what's the holy instant? Anybody? How does it happen? Where do they come from? What's the holy instant?
The moment. You mean that absolute presence moment. No past, no future.
Yeah. It's this undefended moment of presence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It comes after the release of a situation that wasn't holy. Holy instants follow unholy instances. Yeah. And the way you get out of an unholy instant is a miracle, which is simply voluntarily a shift in perception. And then you actually go ahead and follow through with releasing that stinking thought you just about delivered. But you didn't, honestly, because it's not worth it anymore. It's not even real. It's not true. And then the holy instant comes in as you relax. And it just comes over your body. Yeah, breath occurs and the simplicity occurs. Yeah, holy instant. We don't have time to read our favorite. It's been like a year since we've read that.
Yeah. That's really a good one because when you realize that's the opposite, the negative, what's what puts you there.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah. That.
So.
Oh, I don't like that feeling, but that crazy, insane thing that you want to get away from is your... like your trigger to get you there if you use it.
That's right. So the contrast of that ugliness,
yeah,
that ancient hate,
dwelling,
becomes a present love. And now the world, that hatred, that stinking situation that you had, has a new purpose under the Holy Spirit's control to bring you love.
Yeah. It's when you really see that, it just all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe this world could actually work out. I could use it better.
Yeah.
Good, David. Okay? So in the holy instant, you and your brother stand before the altar God has raised to himself and both of you. Let faithlessness aside. Lay it aside. Faithlessness is like doubt. It's really a commitment to doubt. Faithlessness. There's no faith, no reason to have faith, no reason to trust, no reason to go beyond my stinking thinking. So lay that aside and come to this place that God has prepared, this altar, together. Now, what would an altar that God has raised unto himself? Do we have any clues in A Course in Miracles? What is he talking about? What would that look like in the world? And we're talking about bodies, aren't we? Both is there. That's a word of separation. Both, right? And remember, we're coming out of big discussion on special relationships. And went through the holy relationship. Now in chapter 19, we're starting to get some more metaphysics involved. So we really are talking about relationships. What would an altar that God would build to himself look like in relationship?
Is he talking about oneness?
He's talking about this. What empowers oneness, which is a message of love. Mm-hmm. What powers an altar that God would build to himself would have to be, have to contain messages of love. And we all describe what that means. It means unity. It means acceptance. It means gentleness, tolerance. It means adjoining. Those are permitted by you going beyond your little self. This is an altar. Altar that God builds to himself is when you express the qualities. Here, the best you can do are the qualities of the teacher of God listed 1-10 in the back of the book. Mm-hmm. Okay? When you find those things more valuable than hate, attack, selfishness, depression, aloneness, withdrawal, revenge, judgment, doubt. When you find that those 10 attributes in the back of the book are more valuable, honestly, that's your roadmap. This is how you recognize love is present. This becomes what you could call an altar that God has built to himself. Well, what do you mean, built to himself? Well, you see, Holy Spirit works in your mind as a reflection of God, as a reflection of truth. So as we discussed in great detail 2 months ago, with the little garden, you know that section of the book called The Little Garden? We had so much fun with that. This is where you and truth can meet. You've made a place. This is the altar that God has built to himself, using truth, to which you're still connected. Oh, that's the good news.
Okay.
There will you see the miracle of your relationship as it was made again through faith. Love that word. Mm-hmm. I feel electricity flowing. It's actually a commitment to these principles of love, these messages of love that we've all discussed. When you actually commit to that feeling when it shows up, the power flows. Mm-hmm. The relationship will change. If even only for an instant, it will change. Things will change around you when you're in that state. Absolutely. And there it is that you will realize that there's nothing faith cannot forgive. How powerful is it when you are trusting, honest, gentle, joyful, tolerant, defenseless, patient, grateful, faithful, and open-minded. You got that going on? I want to hang with you. At least you won't hold a grudge. When you make a mistake. Okay? There's nothing faith cannot forgive. No error interferes with its calm sight. We discussed that. right? You're tolerant of errors now that I see you. I see the real you. I know those little mistakes you make are just, you get weak for a moment.
They don't really exist.
They don't really exist, the errors. They don't need punishment either.
They're just part of the illusion.
So, yeah. So it's just striking out mistake.
Got another illusion? We'll laugh at that too.
Yep, we can laugh. No error interferes with its calm sight, which brings the miracle of healing with equal ease to all of them. What's miracle principle one?
There's no order of difficulty in miracles.
And here it is. There's no order of difficulty in miracles. Why? Because they're...
Rectamundo.
They're all the same. Read it for us. Are you there?
They're all the same.
Yeah, because they're all the same.
All expressions of love are maximal.
Oh, is that it? Is that the very first miracle principle on page 3 of this book? It's so consistent. I know, I mean, you got to respect the book that way. It sold me. Okay, so here's miracle principle 1 being stated out way out here on page 401, that no error interferes with the calm sight, which brings the miracle of healing with equal ease to all of them. They're all the same. All expressions of love are maximal. For what the messengers of love are sent to do, well, they do. Just like David's electricity. It flows, baby. That's what it does. Returning the glad tidings that it was done to you and your brother, who stand together, a very nice message of love is togetherness, who stand together before the altar, and the altar is used at the beginning of this paragraph that we talked about a moment ago. Not a bad place to hang. The altar of God here, where it's needed, has some pretty good qualities under which your life would be blessed if you lived it. Trust, honesty, gentleness, joy, defenselessness. It's good. It just works. Patience. And then the world around you changes because you're exuding this. Things actually start to go your way. Yeah. That's why I say the world's not evil. There's nothing in the world evil. There's no sin, and the world's not evil. Identifying with the world starts to make evil have teeth. You know, yeah. Starts to make this illusion of evil appear. Yeah. That's what we hear, to heal your mind that way.
Andrew,
yes.
when it says there is no, I was thinking about this actually the other day, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. The opposite of that would mean there's also no differences in all of the difficulties.
Yes.
Because they're all the same. I mean, they feel different. Of course they do, because they're
different.
They
know them differently.
But it's how we see them and how we accept whatever it is or don't accept whatever it is happening to us.
Yes. That's right. All of the errors are at the same level. Same material under the same principle.
And it's
false.
Right, and it kind of takes a little bit of the fear out of it when you know that they're all at the same level. That they're all of the same source.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this is key. We have just enough time to discuss that. Are we done with the sentence? Yeah. Let's go. Okay, everybody, taking what Kim just said, Miracle Principle 1, baby. Turn to page 0, which is like page 1, if it had a page number.
Page 0?
Yeah, baby. We're going there. It's called The Introduction to A Course in Miracles. There's no page number, so, you know, how can I tell you? But, yeah, it would be page 1 at this point. So read it now.
Okay. He says A Course in Miracles is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you've been established a curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim to teach teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but it is all encompassing and have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Can you guys handle that complex math?
That's awesome. I love it.
Not when I first started. That was like the most confusing thing to me.
And it's bolded and italics. And like, this seems important. So we got to read that again. Let's see. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists.
It's like saying that your ego creates thoughts. Thoughts are not real because they're in your head. So that the only thing that's real is presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you experience in the moment, not what's in your head.
This is key. I got a bumper sticker that's on my refrigerator still. I got it in Santa Cruz, and it says, "Don't believe everything you think."
That's really important. That's so important.
Isn't that important?
Yes.
In fact, if you're thinking it, it's probably not real. Right?
Probably!
Because it's only when you are just being, and there is no
so when you're
here and now is when you're... When you're in the present, like he said, it's presence.
The Course hints at this metaphysical discussion beyond the curriculum that Kim just mentioned. If you're ready for it, ignore this if you're not. It says your true state is one of abstraction.
Abstraction?
I'm telling you, this is a really rough sentence, but it's amazing insight into the beyond. Your true state is one of abstraction.
When you're abstract, you're not tied to anything.
Unknowing. It's a state of unknowing.
You're free. You're free floating. You know. You're abstract art is very free.
There's nothing there.
No lines.
There's no thing there.
Everything's melded together. The colors are all. You know, there's no actual form.
There's no right and wrong about abstract art. There's no limit. There's
right.
Because the next sentence is, the truly creative have nothing to learn.
The truly creative.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes. You, in your true state, when you awaken to be an extension of God purely without this little dream of being a separate little poor sack of water and bones that's struggling just to stay alive and be happy at night. That, when you get away from that little fantasy, you go back to your true free power. You're truly creative at that point. See, creativity is blocked here so that you can live this very manufactured dream of separation with hard limits. So when you go back to your natural state, this openness occurs, this freedom occurs, and you go back to the true state of your mind, which is unhooked. No wrong. And no right, yet
nothing.
Empowered by the power of God. So it's actually very abstract. But very, very scary term. We'll meet it another night. But it's kind of a weird term because it's like so undefined. Yes, yes. But you start to feel it when I say, well, if we're going to have everybody here sit down and do a painting of a perspective correct glass box, and I want a reflection of the box in the floor. Okay, you ready? Everybody ready to sketch? Ready? Nobody's leaving until you get it right. This could be a long night. You kind of feel a little bit of the constriction. And that occurs in this dream of surviving in a body. There is a right and a wrong way. You need to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And have a great love relationship if you want things to go easy. Of course, says you have no idea how hard you're working to try to find happiness where it can't be found.
And would you say that statement once more, that we are in a distraction? No.
We are in a precisely defined box with edges of right and wrong.
Right.
And we're struggling to perform the right. And the wrong still shows up. And the expense hurts. And the Course says, you have no idea how much effort you're putting in to maintain this illusion. When you yourself are a creator, and you're made of love, and you would rather create and share love. I know your will, the Course says. I know your true will. Jesus is this part of our mind that woke up to the real will. It says, oh yeah, I get it. Well, let's close the meeting with just a couple of paragraphs that are so sweet. Now we've gone to the introduction. Flip to page 396. We just read this the other week. I would love to spend more time here. Let's just close the meeting with this. Okay, let's read page 396, just starting with paragraph 11. Lorraine, when you're ready.
This course will lead to knowledge. But knowledge itself is still beyond the scope of our curriculum. Nor is there any need for us to try to speak of what must forever lie beyond words.
Like that abstraction moment, right? We could kind of feel it with Kim loosening up. She's an artist, you know, she knows this. Yeah, it's really beyond words. Right away, it's beyond words. Yeah, but please continue.
We need remember only that whoever attains the real world, beyond which learning cannot go, will go beyond it, but in a different way.
Okay, now this is kind of a message of love for you, for everybody here in this room who's reading that sentence right now. The real world is the awakened perception of the false world. It's seeing this world as an illusion, not as a cost in any way. Not as your home. It's too small for your home. It's too ugly for your home. When you see the real world, you deliver yourself to the freedom and love of which you are made, and that is your truth. It's really, really good news. Please continue.
Where learning ends, there God begins.
And learning ends because learning is of the unknown, of something that you could know. And advance. That's not abstraction, and that's not full freedom. You're learning to undo. You're not learning to do something. You're learning to undo what you're holding on in your own mind. That's what we're learning here. Now, when the real world arrives, when your awakening occurs, that's your awakening, your ultimate awakening. You see the real world. There's no more learning now. Why? Because the need for it's gone. You see the illusion for the illusion, and you let the illusory small s self stay in the limits of the world. Close it like a book, if you wish. Please continue.
Where learning ends, there God begins. For learning ends before Him who is complete where He begins. And where there is no end.
So when you see the real world, you also see a completion. And what looked fragmented and separate, the world, looks like a struggling place, doesn't it? Of complete loss and constant death, 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 death. That life is going to end in, you got it, death. And then the sun goes up and the whole earth disappears. Ah, geez, this story's got a bad ending. That is what we see from this perspective. What he's talking about here, when you see the real world, you see the completion from the beginning, including the end. That the completion, the God's completion now, from the perspective of God awareness, nothing broken, no death. It's a huge message of love of what you really are. Please continue.
It is not for us to dwell on what cannot be attained. There is too much to learn. The readiness for knowledge still must be attained.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles. It prepares you with readiness for this knowledge by moving the blocks to the awareness of that which you are, which happens to be that which you seek. The Course can help with that. It can make your mind ready to take those steps and experience these holy instants. Please continue. Pam.
Love is not learned. Its meaning lies within itself. And learning ends when you have recognized all is not.
You gotta read that sentence again.
And learning ends when you have recognized all it is not.
Learning ends when you recognize all that love is not. When you recognize, now that's what we talk about, saying, seeing the real world. You're seeing, this is not love. This is not even real. I personally don't even fit in the entire world. That dream's over. Please continue.
That is the interference. That is what needs to be undone. Love is not learned because there never was a time in which you knew it not. Learning is useless in the presence of your Creator, whose acknowledgement of you and yours of Him so far transcend all learning that everything you learned is meaningless, replaced forever by the knowledge of love and its one meaning.
This is A Course in Miracles message of love to you tonight. Please continue. Julie?
Your relationship with your brother has been uprooted from the world of shadows, and its unholy purpose has been safely brought through the barriers of guilt, washed with forgiveness, and set shining and firmly rooted in the world of light. From there, it calls to you to follow the course it took, lifted high above the darkness, and gently placed before the gates of heaven. The holy instant in which you and your brother were united is but the messenger of love, sent from beyond forgiveness to remind you of all that lies beyond it. Yet it is through forgiveness that it will be remembered.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles. This is the tool of A Course in Miracles to teach you about this tool, forgiveness, to release these blocks. Karen, would you read for us paragraph 14?
And when the memory of God has come to you in the holy place of forgiveness, you will remember nothing else, and memory will be as useless as learning, for your only purpose will be creating. This you cannot know until every perception has been cleansed and purified and finally removed forever. Forgiveness removes only the untrue, lifting the shadows from the world and carrying it safe and sure within its gentleness to the bright world of new and clean perception. This is your purpose now, and it is there that peace awaits.
Thank you. Let's have a circle.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
It really helps to say it.
Please.
One of the things that has helped me so much is understanding truly what causes everything is that separation from God. And it's the knowing, it's the absolute knowing that there is no possible way that we can be separated from God, that God is always us. God is always there. We are the only ones that can create that separation. And that was so healing for me to actually finally get that.
Yes.
You know, that it makes everything easier.
And that the separation itself doesn't occur. It's an illusion of separation. So, it's actually being held within unity.
Right, right. And the only thing that can bring me back to that place of that clarity, of that understanding that I am not separate from God, is practicing true forgiveness and learning how to do that.
And then experiencing the result.
Yes. Pardon me?
Experiencing the result.
Of forgiveness?
Of forgiveness.
Yes.
Because that's how you get a proper addiction going. You take the drug, you observe the effect, and say, I like it, I'll do it again.
I am totally addicted.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
You better believe it. And the Course takes a moment and says that. I think it's chapter 15 or so. It says, you know, these holy instances, you've got to recognize when they happen, because it will just, the ocean will close up over the wakes of your boat so quickly, you won't know that you were there. The world, you are so invested in anger, hate, jealousy, you know, weakness of all types, that when these beautiful moments of love occur, these holiness occur, for you not to recognize them.
Yeah.
The world will resume doing what it does. Take a deep breath. So in a way, that in-breath that you just took, that pulling on the air, because you accepted it, you allow it, you bought it, essentially, that breath. You said, I'm taking it. This is like a message of love, isn't it? It didn't come from the outside, taking that breath. You took the breath. The brochure offered you nutrition of oxygen and on. Yes, it did. And that was fully, freely available. But you had to take that breath. This is what faith is. It receives what's freely available. But you commit to it. So the message of love really, turns out, is your willingness to see it true, to try it, your willingness to take a walk of faith for all the things you truly want, even in the ugly moments. Turn to what you truly want. I want peace. I want some joy. I like how it feels when I think about being fully loved by all the power that is, even in the ugly moments. And then the world changes around you because you look like somebody who's available to be helped or help. The whole world changes with a message of love from you, to you, for you. Thank you, Mom.
I didn't know very long. I found this. I was talking about. Oh, I'm constantly getting answered. Everyone else is making it. You don't know. I find it's really brought alive.